You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Foz Mamoon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Dots, Lines, and Destinations.
You don't know the number off the top of your head?
I do not know the number off the top of my head. You know why, Jason?
Because we had a lot of sake, soju, and a lot of yakitori.
I was going to say because I don't pay attention to my own podcast, but also because we're a little dry.
Same.
You don't pay attention to my podcast, you don't pay attention to your podcast.
I could tell you the last episode we recorded was episode 346, because we had John Walton on to talk about the A340-600.
Okay. That's
all I got.
All right, so yes, go check out that episode of Av Talk. This is Jason Rabinowitz, who is...
Hi.
of Av Talk fame and airlineflyer.net. And we're in Busan, Korea. Wandering a street headed towards the beach. As you might have picked up from before, we are a little tipsy and just had a bunch of yakitori at a Michelin-recommended restaurant.
It was good.
So we're going to get to the travel bit here in a minute and tell some of those stories. But first, want to catch up on some news. It is Saturday evening in Seoul, or in Busan, also in Seoul, but in Korea. And earlier today, our time, which was...
While we were sleeping,
it's sort of overnight, depending on which time zone you're in, but whatever. In the last 24 hours, the A320 had some issues.
The entire family, CEO and Neo, had a, you might want to stop flying these things until we sort this out problem, which is kind of as bad as it gets.
I would argue we had an emergency. You actually are no longer allowed to fly these things until you sort it out problems. So... an emergency airworthiness directive was issued by EASA, the European regulators. That was shortly followed by one from the FAA, and eventually, they basically said any A320 flying with the most recent revision of the elevator and aileron controller. Actually shouldn't be flying. You need to downgrade the software on those.
But the why is the craziest part.
The why is, in fact, the craziest part. The why is because seems to be a problem with solar radiation and, like, bit flipping, maybe? Like, actually corrupting data in the controller for the elevator and aileron, which is what caused the uncontrolled brief descent on the JetBlue A320 that diverted out of Cancun a couple weeks back.
Yeah, kind of scary that it's not just a hypothetical, hey, you need to do something about the software because something might happen. No, it's a, hey, you need to do something about the software because something just happened and we need to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, so slightly good news is that for many airlines, because it does not affect the older version of the software, which... also is kind of a crazy thing I haven't fully processed yet. But because it doesn't affect the older version of the software, there is the opportunity that airlines that hadn't updated yet can use the older version and many of their planes aren't affected. So we heard that, like, British Airways has 120 A320 family planes. Only three of them were impacted because they hadn't updated yet.
So deferred maintenance actually paid off sometimes.
American Airlines has 480 of the type. They're the largest operator in the world, if I remember correctly.
The last update, as of 10 hours ago from Ned Russell, says only 209 of its 320 family planes need the software update, not the 340 originally estimated.
So. And they think they're going to be done by, like, Sunday morning, U.S. time. So they're running through them real fast. So of course, they... have sufficient, even on Thanksgiving weekend, have the sufficient staff to ramp that up and make it happen where they need to.
Well, the FAA said it, they only estimate about 3 hours of work per aircraft.
Yeah, but at some point, you just need enough bodies.
Like, yeah.
And you need the plane to be sitting somewhere that you can do it.
And I've read something about not even just a software update, but some airlines are just wholesale swapping out the hardware from aircraft parked in the desert and just swapping them into the... affected aircraft and actually updating the software.
If you do that, you could probably do a running cycle where as you pull a box, you can do the updates on that box and swap it into the next one, depending.
Yeah, if you're an airline like Spirit and you've got half your fleet parked in the desert.
To be fair, half that fleet was parked in the desert and then it was returned to lessors, so they don't really have
to. Oh, yeah, you can't pull off those airplanes if they don't belong to you.
But yeah, there are a lot of affected airlines, some more than others. I will say the other interesting part about that was Avianca actually suspended sales of tickets for 10 days.
What?
They're not selling anything through December 8th right now.
Wow.
And they, it would seem to be that they expect that they are going to be more impacted and have a harder time getting their aircraft repaired or are just panicking. I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
So anyway, developing story. We don't have a ton more detail on that because we're both on vacation here in Korea, but interesting stuff happening. I had a couple other news bits on here that I'm going to surprise Jason with. It's going to be great.
Before it hit me.
Northern Pacific is out of business.
Shocked. I am. This is my shocked face.
Exactly. It was gambling in this casino.
So which version of Northern Pacific is this? Is it the original one that flies to the Pacific, the other one that flies to Reno, or the one that only does charter flight?
And that were all of the.
And let me fix my statement. It's New Pacific.
Oh,
sorry, Mr. Train Company. We did not mean to infringe on your trademark. I know that some companies take that seriously, and some of them I respect for that. This is the most recent New Pacific, which was the charter only operator.
Which actually I saw quite a bit. They popped into LaGuardia quite often.
Interesting. They run a executive config. They also run a more all economy config, depending on what you ask for. They had 3 757s flying. They also just 2 weeks ago had signed a deal with Beyond, which is the Maldivian airline that was running an all premium service, mostly between Europe or the Middle East into the Maldives. And were apparently planning to start up in the United States. And yeah,
but they're also at this point like, hey, don't even worry about it. This is totally a part of the plan. It's cool.
Yeah, that which obviously was not actually part of the plan. And it's impressive to me to hear them see them saying that. But they seem to think it's not going to be that big a deal. Those are all the drones, I think.
This might be for the best, honestly.
That they didn't get into bed with New Pacific?
Yeah.
Yeah, the history of New Pacific also is it was Raven and it was something else. And they basically bought out an Alaskan regional carrier, EAS operator. It's going to be interesting. I mean, well, it's not interesting anymore because it's done, but a lot going on.
It would have been interesting.
It could have been interesting.
Hypothetically.
And then our last bit of news is that JSX is launching service on its ATRs.
They're actually going to do what they said they would do. Almost all of it.
Almost all of it. They promised this in June at the Paris Air Show, late June. They were bringing on a bunch of ATRs. And the first ones are coming in are airplanes that were previously operated by Silver Airways, which went out of business earlier this year. The ATR 42-600s, they're previously were configured with 48 seats. They're going to be reconfigured to 30 seats. And they're doing that in 10 rows of a 1-2 layout. This is not the super premium layout that ATR had been talking about during the same air show.
They're pulling a Bermuda Air. They're coming in with new airplanes or airplanes they've taken from someone else with a promise of a super nice product.
Eventually.
That, well, Bermuda Air is never going to deliver on that. But and they're never going to deliver on
that. That they're not. And yet I've talked to the people.
They are never going to deliver on that.
And they were like, Jonah, a cusp of delivering in April, but it still hasn't happened.
Yeah, so it really never. Whenever. But JSX, I have no doubt that they will do that at some point. Now, ATR, maybe. U.S. again.
On the ATR, I'm actually not convinced it's a sure thing. And I'll say that's for two reasons. Number one, you can't do it on the 42.
Yeah.
The 42 is too small of a plane. They're doing a 1-2 layout on that plane. It's going to be the same seats that Silver was flying with, except they're going to block basically the B seat. The second seat on the AB side is going to become a bench cocktail table, just like they did with the ERJs originally.
Yeah.
But they're only doing it on one side. And they're going to increase the pitch to, I think, 30.
Four inches?
None of these are particularly long.
But hopefully not on an ATR.
No.
And it'll let you get in, it let them get into these small airports. Someone raised the point of like, why are you flying into an airport that they're going to shut down in 3 years?
That's their problem 3 years from now.
And my take on that is like, there's minimal infrastructure required.
It's, right.
You're using an FBO that already is in.
No TSA.
There is some security screening, but it's minimal. I don't worry about that for them. And on the Vegas side, like, they've already got everything in place. So
yeah.
They can, and It's a 30-seater running once a day. Like, you don't have to sell many seats to folks in Santa Monica wanting to go to Vegas at an absurdly high price for this premium.
California to Vegas, we know, is a bottomless pit of demand, so they'll fill it.
Certainly the L.A. basin. So it's an interesting situation. I kind of like it, but overall still relatively not quite what was promised. They're still waiting on HR.
Not promised, but they're still starting service, which these days just getting your hands on an airplane.
Yeah.
In the year you say you're going to do it is not trivial.
Yes. I mean, to be fair, these are old props, but still. Did you see the... No, we're not going to talk about that. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't like that. Sorry. I'm going to get too angry.
Okay. I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, it's okay. A short episode because we are theoretically on vacation and a drone show is going to start here in a couple minutes, but we're going to maybe talk through that a little bit too. For our Patreon subscribers, stick around because we're going to talk about being in Korea and the joys of that and some of the fun meals we've had and interesting flying and training and other bits. For everybody else, this is a short episode. We weren't even sure we were going to have a recording this week, so is what it is. Jason, you are on the Flight Radar 24 AvTalk podcast.
That's correct.
And airlineflyer.net on Blue Sky.
So correct.
All righty. So find him there. Go give him a listen. Hang out with him, too. For the rest of our listeners, leave us a comment on Blue Sky or...
You might even find Seth on our latest episode.
Oh, hey, what are the odds of that since we're traveling together?
Who knew?
Anyways, thanks for listening for our Patreon supporters. I think I already teased that, but more to come. And we will catch you next time. Take care.
See you.